This is Heather Johnson, and you're listening to the Ayurveda Life School Podcast, episode number 72, Attachment and Living in the Present. This podcast is for people who want to take their health physically, emotionally, and spiritually to a whole new level using Ayurvedic medicine, the ancient healing tradition from India. This is the Ayurveda Life School Podcast, and I'm your host, Heather Johnson. Hello, my friends. Welcome to the Ayurveda Life School Podcast this beautiful day. It is a big day of change around our house. School began, and in the district that we live in, the kids are going to get to go back to school in person. We've made our bets about how long this will last because we're sure that once they're there for a few weeks, COVID will ramp up. And if you're listening to this in the future, this is the first time that our kids have gone back to school since the COVID pandemic began. And so there's a lot of uncertainty about how it's going to go and how long the kids will stay in school and if the wearing of masks is going to help to prevent the spread of COVID, et cetera, et cetera. And I will admit to a little bit of concern about my kids' ability to even wear a mask for 7 hours during the day, because I know when I've had to have it on for just an hour or two, I feel very oxygen deprived and so happy to get it off at the end of it. So I'm sure we'll see a lot more kids running around outside in the afternoons as they experience freedom from the mask. But as part of this new transition, my oldest is leaving for college. And I always watched people go through this experience, and I will be honest, I don't think I had a proper understanding for the emotions that are involved with a transition like this. And it's made me reflect a lot on attachment and how we get attached to things and how it's hard to live in the present moment because we're constantly wondering or thinking about what's going to happen in the future or wishing things were the way that they used to be, or even feelings of regret for not taking advantage of the experiences when we were in the moment. So we're basically not living in the moment right now, wishing we had lived in the moment better then, so that in the future we'll look back to this moment and wish we'd lived in this moment more fully. Really, it's this vicious cycle of not being present and not living the experience that we're having right now. From an Ayurvedic standpoint, I always am curious about how our emotions play into the experiences that we're having in life. Well, according to the Vedic sages, these ancient wise teachers of knowledge, one of the main causes of all mental and emotional disease is not being able to process the emotions that are being created in our experiences of life. So we have an experience, we feel an emotion, whether it's a positive or what we deem negative emotion, really they're all neutral, but we have an emotion that is created and we don't fully process or experience this emotion. It's like we ate food that never really got digested and it just is sitting there hanging out, causing problems, causing indigestion, causing toxicity, and our emotions do the exact same thing. When I first learned this principle many years ago, I actually thought it was a little weird and I didn't fully embrace it. And especially when I'd be in yoga class and a teacher would talk about feeling emotion in our hips or how we're holding things in our chest or how we're not releasing tension from the shoulders, and all of that is an emotional connection. And I didn't really believe it. But as I have worked more with Ayurveda and with emotional energies and with releasing, I've come to realize that that is such a true statement, because we're creating these experiences and then they're being held within our cells. So the actual cell is holding that emotional experience. And it's almost like if you look at each cell as a living organism, they're communicating with one another. And ultimately, it communicates with our brain and with our soul. And so all of this communication that's happening gets blocked when we have a lot of emotion that is held because it's stagnant. It allows for blockages and we don't have that clear channel and that clear opening. In Ayurveda, we call this ama, A-M-A, ama, toxicity. And so looking at it on a physical plane makes a lot of sense to me. You eat food that can't be digested. And so it gets stored in the cells, especially the fat cells, creates a toxic sludge that builds up. You have disease that comes from it. Same thing is happening in the mind. You're having emotions that are occurring, but they're not just being held in the mind, right? You're having an emotion. It's felt in the Siddhaka Pitta, which is the emotional heart, as well as in the mind, Siddhaka Pitta. And that's a subdosha of Pitta, the mental and emotional heart. And so these emotions are being stored in there. And I talked a lot about that in a past episode about being able to unravel and release those. But when it comes to the emotions that I have been feeling concerning my daughter leaving for college, I've realized, wow, I have a lot of attachment issues. And my husband and I have been talking about that and kind of making it a joke of, we're both having attachment problems. But I've tried to look at the past because all the experiences that I'm having now are just a reoccurrence of an experience I had in the past. The emotion that's coming from this current circumstance is an emotion that I have felt before from a different circumstance, but it's that same emotion that's rising up of being attached, not wanting to let go. So I thought I would share with you a story from my earlier years. When I was a kid, we moved a lot, 17 times before I left for college, which is a lot of moving. I went to 4 high schools, got to have a lot of different experiences, but it created an issue with me of attaching to people because I knew that based on past experience, we would probably move again in a short time, and there wasn't really a big reason to attach to this person and create this strong bond and friendship because I was just going to be up and out of here again. And that led to me having more superficial friendships and not feeling a lot of emotional connection. I think it was a way to protect myself, and that's what our body and our mind does, right? Is we're looking for pleasure, avoiding pain, trying to always protect and keep ourselves safe. So my primitive brain was feeling like unsafe in these situations, especially, I mean, you picture a middle school age kid going to multiple different schools and the trauma that would create in your brain because, oh, middle school is like the hardest time of life, right? I have one that I sent off to school today, and I feel like I'm sending her to the vipers. I'm like, good luck. Hope you survive and come back in one piece today. But as we go through these experiences and I went through all this moving, it led me to not be able to attach to people very well and to disconnect easily, right? We would move again and I just kind of disconnect from the previous people, move on to the next group of people. But it's interesting how now I find that when things have had any sort of stability in my life, because that was such an unstable growing up period of moving a lot, that I tend to attach more to them. And it's become more physical objects that I attach to, as well as the people in my immediate family. We owned several rental properties when we were first married, and we read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, that book about investing, and decided we would invest, so we bought a whole bunch of properties. And there was one that we were living in before we bought our first real single family residential home. And when we had to leave that house, I was so sad. And what's so funny is that was an apartment that we were in a duplex, and the downstairs venting for the circulation of the air went right up into our house. And we had had tenants down there that cooked very different foods that were so spicy that they would literally cause me to cough in my own house up on the upper level because the spice air would be coming up from their kitchen into our kitchen. And I would literally be coughing as I was preparing dinner in the evening. I didn't like much about that house. There was a lot of negative things about that space. But when I had to move, I was so sad and cried and was so attached and felt upset about the sale of the house and moving, even though it was our decision. We were excited about doing it and moving into a new place. But I have noticed that trend that I start attaching to things. The current place that we live, we've been here 8 years. And our old home, when we moved from there, I was also very excited, but had a huge emotional issue of leaving and couldn't even go back to visit that city without just breaking into tears for probably 5 or 6 years. It took me, and it's not very far from where we live now, so I had to go there quite often. I have friends there still. And so I just have noticed this pattern. And even as far as staying in my marriage, I mean, we've been in 22 years. It's been a struggle. There's been a lot of challenges. I think that because I am so attached to him and the relationship and the way things have been when they're good, that I don't want to let go of it. So as I've realized more about Ayurveda and learned about the doshas, I've seen that for me, my attachment shows up as a kapha type attachment. It's a watery attachment, overly sentimental, very attached to tradition, to rituals, to people, to wanting things to stay the same. And I think it's completely in defense of all of the instability that I felt those first few years. So you could look at it and see that maybe it was a vata situation where I had so much instability, it increased vata in my mind and heart and my body, and then it led into a kapha type attachment more based upon my dosha balance because I have a lot of kapha in my dosha. So as I've been thinking about those things and then seeing those same emotions arise with my daughter leaving for college, I thought it might be prudent if we talked a little bit about attachment and being in the present moment, because right now we're all very attached to what should have been happening right now. No matter where we are in the world, we've all been affected by COVID, and there's a desire for things to have stayed the way they were, even if they weren't that great. For some, COVID has been a benefit and a positive thing. They've had a lot of good experiences come from this. Maybe their businesses have done better. They've had new opportunities. But for many, COVID has been very devastating financially as well as emotionally because of the distancing from people and changes in jobs, etc. So when we look at attachment, wanting things to be the same as they used to be, or wanting them to be different than they are both attachment problems that keep us from living in the present moment. So one of the keys to letting go of this is learning to change perception and igniting our digestive metabolism. This doesn't just mean physically, but also emotionally. We need to be able to process the emotions that are coming in, and then we need to be able to shift the perception that we're having about what is occurring in this moment in order for us to let go and be present. When we look at the primordial cause of disease, we've talked about this before on the previous episodes, it's forgetting our true nature as spirit. So once we forget that we are spiritual beings rather than physical beings, then it leads us into disease. And I wanted to talk about this in a different vocabulary for a minute and use the terms object referral versus self-referral. There's a fantastic book that I read. You guys all know I love to read, and it's called Healing Depression, The Mind-Body Way. It's by Nancy Leibler and Sandra Moss. And it's a fantastic book about Ayurveda, yoga, meditation. But she talks a little section in this book about the idea of object referral. And really, object referral is when we're living from a place of ego. And we're very directed towards our senses. So we're only looking at what our sense objects are experiencing. So we focus on what can be seen, heard, touched, tasted, and smelled. And so our intellect really is dealing only with what it can absorb through the five senses, not believing that there's something beyond what the senses can perceive. So the material world becomes our reality. The spiritual world is ignored. There is a big problem with this that causes that attachment, because when we're moving the mind from one external focus to another, it creates a lot of fatigue, a lot of stress, a lot of anxiety. So for example, if you're looking for happiness in something you haven't experienced yet, or in something that's new or better than what's happening now, then you're creating stress within your mind. So when you have object referral, it means that the reference point of your existence is from the ego. You're referencing everything about the world around you from this lower state of being, your ego self. But in a state of extreme object referral, you're going to relate only to what's external to you. So the problem is that circumstances are always changing, right? And so the events, the people, the things in the outside world create such an influence over us when we're in this object referral mode that we're not able to stay stable and we don't know what to attach onto. It makes us very stressed. It makes us have a lot of desire to hold and to grip and not to let go because we are at the mercy of these circumstances outside of us that are influencing this huge control over us. And we often tend to forget that we are more than what meets the eye. We are more than our physicality. So when we look at it from a self-referral standpoint, this is like looking from our highest self, from living in our spirit as opposed to in our physical space. So self-referral is when you turn your focus to your inner self. It's an inward focus of one's awareness that gains experience of our unchanging inner world. So it's the world of our spirit. It's where we kind of look inward instead of outward as our referral point. So when we're in a state of self-referral, our attention looks towards our mind, the deeper level of our mind, not just what we're absorbing through our senses. And it anchors us to a deeper sense of self. And that helps us to let go of fear, vulnerability, and attachment because we realize that I am greater than these circumstances. This is a feeling that is caused when we have self-referral as opposed to object referral. It creates freedom and expansion. And so it gives a lot of relief and hope because we're seeing things on a spiritual plane instead of just a physical object plane. So it also gives you joy, a sense of perception. It's very empowering. Now, it might not be possible, and it usually isn't, to change events and others around you. I can't change the fact that my daughter is going to college. I mean, I could lock her in her room and tell her she can't go, but at the same time, this is her choice. This is her life to lead. So I can't change that, but if I change my inner physiology through how I manage my life Ayurvedically, and the psychology through my mind, my perceptions, my thoughts, I can get a new perspective on what's going on. And the old circumstance of her leaving for college can look completely different, even though it hasn't changed, right? It's just my view on it. I've let go of the attachment. So that is what happens when we expand our awareness and we move into self-referral as opposed to object referral. And it's no different than when we talk about living from our higher self versus living from the ego. Now, what happens for a lot of us when we have attachments is instead of facing them, working through them, we look for opportunities to escape. We don't want to think about it. We don't want to deal with it. We don't want to face what's happening in this moment. Like, we're not willing to live in the present moment. And so we tend to get busy. We get caught up in dramas of other people's lives or even people online who we don't really know. We watch TV, we take drugs, alcohol, we may eat too much, we might sleep too much. We do all these things because we don't want to experience this present moment because we're so attached to things that maybe aren't the way we want them to be. And we're struggling this because attachment looks like resistance to what is. Right now, clinging to the past or having a fear of the future, a concept of what you think something should be based on what you've experienced before, or comparing the situation to this like perfect future that you're imagining or what you think it should look like. So you notice all of these things are about denying what's actually going on, rejecting change and wanting things to stay exactly the same. And that's the issue that I think I've been feeling most with my daughter is not wanting things in our family structure to change when she moves out. Not allowing others to change and grow, but instead holding them to a standard that you have set. You basically created this workbook manual for them of what they should be doing and how they should be living. And that is a form of attachment. You're not allowing them to change. Having unresolved feelings or emotions, a deep longing for things to be different or longing for things to stay exactly the same. Those are all forms of attachment. And they can manifest in a lot of ways, right? It can look like someone who doesn't want to give up physical things. They pack their house with a lot of stuff. They hold on to things or they hold on to rituals and they don't want to let go of the fact that, you know, we used to have dinner every Friday night all together. We should do that. Or they like tradition. They really hold on to tradition. We have some cousins that if their grandfather did it one time, then in their mind, it's tradition. So we have to do it all the time, every time we get together. And that's a way of holding on and not allowing ourselves to detach and be present to what's happening right now. There's a difference, though, between accepting what's happening right now and resignation. Right? When you're resigned to something, you kind of sigh, you shrug your shoulders. You hear people say, well, it is what it is. And it's like a giving up. Like you're resigned to something you don't want that you feel is inevitable that you can't stop or control. There's no power from this space. It's really a sad space to be in. We've all been there though, right? Acceptance is a place of power. It allows you to move ahead, to release what was and what you think should now be. It's really letting go of expectations. I love the Bhagavad Gita. He talks a lot in that book about the expectations and how we're letting go of the results of our actions and how we take the action now, we let go of the results. I think that's a beautiful way to let go of what we think should be happening right now, right? But there's ways to practice this because allowing ourselves to accept what's happening now and release attachment to what we think should be going on is a challenge. And if we only work on it when it's on a big thing, then it's really difficult. And I think that's an area that I really need to focus on, seeing how all of these issues are coming up for me with my daughter moving out. So here's some places that maybe you could practice acceptance and letting go of attachment. When you are rushing to get somewhere and then there's an accident on the freeway and it causes you to be late and you're stuck in traffic and there's literally nothing you can do and you're sitting there. So you can practice acceptance or you can resist what is. Running out of an ingredient, you're in the middle of preparing dinner and suddenly you realize I'm out of black beans or I'm out of rice and there's not a lot you can do with it. You can practice acceptance. Here's a good one. Your child waking up sick in the night when you have to be up early to go to work tomorrow. That's something that probably has happened to most of us. And there's different ways that you can frame that, right? There's times where you could wake up and help your child and you're in a space of love. You're acting from your highest self, from self-referral, and you love them. And it's actually a tender experience being able to care for them. or you're coming from object referral where you're angry and irritated and frustrated because you know you have to be up early and you're completely focusing on the outward senses as opposed to coming from this space of inner awareness about the connection you have and your child could be having right then. Or here's one, working from home due to COVID without the stimulation of the office setting. So you can practice acceptance there or you can resist. It works both ways. Either way, you're going to be home working. Being required to wear a mask. The weight the scale shows. I know COVID's been hard for many of us with weight gain. So all of those areas we can practice accepting things. So there's a little brain exercise that we can do here as we're working on letting go of attachments, being in the present, realizing those are the same thing, but that it starts from a thought level, right? We talked about the primordial cause of disease, forgetting your nature as spirit and getting caught up in the dramas of life. The circumstances around us are the dramas of life. So my circumstance right now, I'm going to use that as an example, is my daughter is leaving for college, okay? And even that word leaving, it means she's going away. So we could use a more neutral word. My daughter is moving to college, okay? So that's the facts. That's what is. That's our circumstance. Now, the thought that I have been thinking about it is many of them, but here's a few of the thoughts. Our family will never be the same. I can't believe how fast the time has gone. I'm going to miss her incredibly. I wish she wasn't going. Okay, so these are the thoughts that are creating this emotion that is distancing me from my true self. It's putting me in a reactive emotional state. And the more I can realize that this emotion of sadness, of attachment, of longing, of disappointment that she's going, but also you got to realize this is like one side of the coin because there's another part of me that thinks a different thought that's really happy for her. But when I'm in this more of a downward spiral ego type thought about how is this affecting me, then I end up being very reactive. And I have to take a step back from that and realize that emotion is not me. It's a chemical reaction, right? Being caused by the thought I'm having. So when I come back to the present and what is, Rivers is moving to college, how about I choose a different thought? And that allows me to be in more of the present moment and less in attachment. Because when my current thought is completely focused on what I wish was happening, what should be happening, what isn't happening, instead of focusing on what is happening right now, that's where all of my power lies, is what's happening right now. You can only live in this moment. So being attached to what was doesn't help. So instead, maybe I could pose my thought as something like this. Here's the circumstance. Rivers is moving to college. My thought is Rivers is going to have beautiful new experiences, or our family will be blessed by Rivers growing and contributing in this way to our family, or it has been a beautiful experience to raise her and now I get to see what she does when she goes out into the world. So all of these create a completely different emotion. They create more of an emotion of anticipation, of possibility, of new creation, of excitement for her. And you notice it takes it from object referral of how are these things affecting me and my senses, and more self-referral of I'm aware of a bigger picture here of her creating now this beautiful life. It's all about staying in the present and letting go of attachment. And what's interesting with this is it's not something you do once. Right? Every time that you have a thought that comes up that takes you out of the present moment, it's an opportunity to then notice what is emotion creating from that thought, and can I change that thought in order to create an emotion that's actually going to serve me in this moment? And sometimes you want to feel the sad thoughts. I think it's okay for me to feel sad that she's leaving for college, but I also think that there's an opportunity that's being missed if I just wallow within that thought instead of taking the opportunity to see the bigger picture. And it's all about that awareness of changing my perception, allowing myself to digest that emotion, process through that first, and then go back and work on maybe creating a new state of mind or a new perception. It's when we deny that emotion and I say, oh no, I shouldn't feel sad. I'm going to just fight it and put a new emotion on top of it, that we store it and we create ourselves those long-term problems. So it's good to take the time to acknowledge it, acknowledge how I'm feeling, acknowledge the thought that I'm having, and then just look and say, does this serve me? Is this serving me in this present moment to have these thoughts? And if they are, keep them. If they're not, let them go. Move on to something else. And it's helpful to realize too that you don't always respond to the same circumstance in the same way. And I've thought about that and realized, well, you know, it's because I'm having different thoughts about the same circumstance. And it's no different than I can come in the house and the house is a mess. But if I'm in a state of mind where I'm really excited about something or my mind is distracted by another activity or something else is happening that's keeping my energy refocused elsewhere, I'm not going to be upset about the house. But if I come into the house, it's a mess, and that's where I put my focus and I put my attention there, then immediately I might come up with all kinds of thoughts about what messy kids I have and how nobody helps and the thing's a mess and all of those things. So it's good to see that the circumstance isn't the problem. It's what you're thinking about the circumstance. There are some Ayurvedic tools that can be really helpful when you're having an attachment that is more kapha type. You can have attachment from all different angles, all different doshas. If you have a vata type attachment, it's going to manifest more as anxiety. If you have a pitta type, it's going to manifest more as overdoing, like you're going to overwork and you're going to have more volatility in your emotions. They're going to be much more up and down. When it's a kapha type, that's where you get into feelings of over sentimentality and not wanting to let go. And because most of us, when we experience attachment, tend to come from more of that kapha type where we have too much watery emotion, we're holding on. Some of the tools that we can use to help release some of this, along with working on the thoughts like we talked about, are moving the body. The more you can move your body and you release the emotions that are being held within those cells, the better you're going to be able to let them go and be present in the moment. So doing a lot of strong, vigorous sun salutations and an asana yoga practice, sweating when you exercise. Sweat is a mala or a toxin that is released for the body as a waste product that can be released from the body, and it allows us to let go of a lot through that. It decreases kapha. So having attachment as a kapha type attachment, when you sweat, you're letting go of that. Your sleep patterns are really important too when you're feeling attachment. You want to be waking before dawn, not taking naps during the day, getting the rest during the proper time of day. Breath practices can be useful. Kapalabhati or Shining Skull is one of my favorite breaths for this. You could also do Bhastrika and then a fast alternate nostril breathing. So instead of doing a slow alternate nostril, you could do a little bit more speed with it and really focus on increasing the heat in the body. Eating foods that are light, dry, warm, and pungent is very useful because, again, we're trying to decrease that kapha type of emotion. And then clear out a closet or a space in your home. So when you feel that attachment, like you just can't let go of an emotion or you're stuck in a situation, maybe in a rut, and you just don't know how to release that mentally, go to a space in your home that is doable within like an hour's time and just clear it out. Start to clean out that closet, clean out that space, get rid of things. That's really going to help. And also doing neti pot and nausea oil. So nausea oil is an oil that you drip into the nostrils. You sniff that up into the nostrils and allow it to just settle in there. Usually has like a sesame oil or a sunflower oil base and has different herbs that are put in there. And it helps your brain to clear. And when we can start to release and clear the mental ama, we're also allowing ourselves to let go of attachment. Because often attachment can be caused by having too much accumulation of that ama. So we're going to end this episode with a little meditation exercise. Meditation is one of the best ways that you can become present in this moment. So I'm going to talk you through an exercise that then you can practice on your own. So it's more of sharing with you the ideas so you can implement these. It's a best exercise to do in the morning in order to release for the day and then fill up with that space of release with new energy. And it's great to do it right after your meditation. So if you do a morning meditation, this could be at the end of that. So the first section is a release. We're going to focus on releasing into the earth, back to creation. So while you're sitting, put your attention on the base of your spine, right at the Muladhara or your first chakra. So just think of the very bottom part of the body that's sitting on the floor. And visualize an energetic cord or a strand that comes from the Muladhara, from the base of your spine, all the way down and extending into the center of the planet. So it's connecting directly to the heart of the earth. And notice that there's this pull from the earth's energy. And allow anything in your physical or energetic body or in your emotions or your mind that's not yours or that's not vibrating in this moment to release right down that strand into the earth. So we're visually letting go, and it might take a few minutes of sitting, thinking, breathing on this. So we're placing our attention on the base of the spine in the muladhara, again, extending the energy down into the center of the earth, noticing that pull and letting go of anything that is not yours or that's not in this moment. Once you have released it all, it might take you a moment or two, then we want to embrace the golden light. So imagine a big golden light just above your head filled with high vibration energy. A lot of movement, a lot of power, a lot of heat. You can put an intention on that golden light. It can be an intention for joy, an intention for clarity, an intention for present action. Whatever you need, as long as it's in present time. And let that golden light flow into your Sahasrara or your crown chakra. Allow it to fill your body, noticing it as it moves into the shoulders, into the hands, into the feet, into all areas of the body. And focusing on filling all of the spaces where you released unneeded energy. This cord that's connecting you to the earth is still there, and it's bringing energy up from the earth. You're drawing energy in through this golden light, and it's surrounding your entire body. So that is a really good exercise to allow you to release what you don't need, what's not in this moment, and then drawing in what is in this moment. It's so natural to get caught up on what was, or what we wish was happening, or what we think might happen, or what should happen, or what he should do, or what she should do, or what I should do, that we aren't even living. We are completely caught up in the dramas of the mind. Practicing your thought awareness, allowing yourself to create new thoughts, new perspectives, and releasing every day, right? You wouldn't think of getting up and going into the day without cleansing the body and getting prepared in a physical manner. This is your way of cleansing the mind and the heart and the soul so that you can draw in fresh new energy for the day. Practice these things. I know that attaching and holding on and living in the past or in the future is really our natural ego state, but the point of Ayurveda is to continually refine our way of being so that we're living from a higher state. And as we practice this, it becomes more and more natural, and it becomes a beautiful way for us to live. I invite you to practice these same techniques in our 28-day Ayurveda Immersion Program. This program begins at the beginning of each month. We actually have another group that's starting in just a few days, and it's an opportunity for us to connect together, to talk about these kinds of ideas, to practice some meditation, to practice some new habits each day in our Dinacharya, our morning routines, and to really get a bigger and broader awareness of how Ayurveda affects every aspect of our lives. But it doesn't take a ton of time. I've had people ask me, well, how much time do I have to commit to do this kind of program? And with our program, I want it to be integrated into what you're already doing. The habits take just a few minutes a day. The study and the reading take just a few minutes a day. And you can really go all in, or you can just dip your toe. And either way, it's there for you. It's an opportunity for you to really explore how Ayurveda affects you in your life. So I invite you to join at ayurvedalifeschool.com/Ayurveda Immersion. And we'll be starting a new program in just a few days. So I'd love to have you in there. And I hope that you have a beautiful week. I love to hear feedback. So if you get a chance, please leave a review here and let me know what you think about the show. If you have any suggestions or ideas for future topics, you can always send those my way as well. Enjoy your week. Start letting go, living in this present moment. And I love to hear about your successes with this. Talk to you next week. Namaste. Before you go, was this episode helpful for you? Well, the most helpful thing you can do in return is to leave a review in iTunes. The reviews are what keep the podcast going. And be sure to subscribe and share this episode if you loved it. You can connect with me online at ayurvedalifeschool.com, on Instagram, and on Facebook at Ayurveda Life School. Have a beautiful day. Namaste.